Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Have you ever noticed that your attitude can shape an entire day before anything actually even happened in that day? You ever figure that out? You ever notice that? You can walk into a situation already carrying something, maybe stress, maybe frustration, maybe gratitude or hope. And whatever you carry into that colors how you see everything. And so let me ask the question another way. It's an important question. What attitude do you actually walk through in life? What's the attitude that you go through life with? Psalm chapter 100, verse 4 tells us the attitude that God wants us to carry. And he says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Notice it doesn't say finish with thanksgiving. It says enter in. In other words, start with it. In other words, that's how you want to lead out in your life. And then verse 4 goes on and says, give thanks. Everybody say thanks. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Because gratitude, it isn't just a feeling. As we just saw, gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is a way in which we can choose to move through life. And when you choose gratitude as your posture, it opens your eyes to what God has been doing all along in your life and in your story. It helps you to see the fingerprints of God in all the chapters of the story of your life. The good, the bad, the confusing, the painful, the ones that didn't seem so spiritual at all. And as we head into Thanksgiving week, I've been doing a lot of reflecting. And thinking about Thanksgiving and gratitude. I've done a couple of podcasts recently, and the hosts of those podcasts wanted to hear my story. And were asking questions about my story and asking questions about the LifePoint story. And so I've been thinking a lot about that, my story, our story, through the lens of gratitude. Entering into the week, thanking God and for what he's been doing and thinking about gratitude. And so I head into this week recognizing God has been writing a story. My story, the church story, and your story. And when you can choose to look at those stories with gratitude, how you understand the past changes a little bit. And it absolutely affects your life as you step into the future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, give thanks, everybody say thanks. Thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some of you say, I want to know, what's God's will for my life? There you have it, give thanks. Give thanks, very simple. There's no confusion, what God's will for my life? Give thanks. That's what God's called us to, not for all the circumstances, but in them. Because God is working in the story of your life, even when you can't see it. And we want to talk about that today. Part of my story begins back with my dad. My dad, a Vietnam vet who, like many who are a part of that war, suffered from PTSD and other issues from the war. His alcoholism nearly destroyed our family. But God got a hold of him. He got sober. He got saved, started going to church. Eventually, he started taking us to church. And back in those days, pastors of at least our type of non-denominational denomination, they would do house visits. And maybe some of you have had that happen in your life. A house visit is when the pastor would come to your house and share the gospel and try to get you to give your life to Christ right there. And so the youth pastor came to my house to do a house visit and to share the gospel with me. And he was finishing it up and trying to close the deal, right? And I said, no, I'm not interested. No thanks. But God wasn't done with me. And so the next year, they brought in the big gun, the senior pastor. And he shared the gospel again with me. But God had been working on me that entire year. And there in my living room, or my dining room, or dining room, excuse me, it was my salvation moment. And so it was there that I said yes to Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized that Sunday, July 3rd, 1983. And that changed the trajectory of my story. About a year or so later, I'm at winter camp, it's freshman year of high school, and a missionary was speaking about God's heart for the world. And then I prayed what really is a dangerous prayer. And I said, God, I want to be used by you to make a kingdom impact. Now, I had no idea really what I was praying as a dopey 13, 14-year-old. I just knew what I knew at the moment. I knew I wanted my life to count for God. A couple years later, I had another one of those moments with the Lord, and I sensed God calling me into vocational ministry, but that collided, with my love for sports. But God had been shifting my heart. I ended up going to a Christian university instead of pursuing baseball. And that's where I met my beautiful bride-to-be, Heather. We then stepped into student ministry. We're doing that for about 10 years. We genuinely thought that that was going to be what we were going to do for the rest of our lives. I mean, we loved students. I love the energy that students bring. We love watching teenagers take Jesus seriously, knowing, man, those are going to be the future world changers. And so I get pumped when I see what happens in our children's ministry here. I get pumped when I see what happens in our student ministry because I know the impact and the power this week of that. This week they had their hype night, their invite night, and it was an incredible day on Thursday night, and you can just kind of see on the screen some of what was happening there, and the kids, man, the students, man, they were pouring their heart out before the Lord. Yeah, they had a lot of fun, but the worship was amazing, and the kids are pouring their heart out. Kids are giving their life to Christ, and it was a special, special night, and so I love that, and I love and I get excited about what God does in our student ministry and our children's ministry. But then one day, I got a call from the president of a church planning organization called Stadia. He said, hey, Chris, your name has come up with some in our circles and whatnot, and so we're wondering, we would love for you and Heather to consider planning a church in Northern California. Have you ever considered planning a church? Would you be open to that? And I said, no way. No way. Why would I leave an amazing church? Why would I leave doing what I love to do? But Heather and I, because my posture has always been, you've heard me say from this stage many, many times, one day you'll hear it so much that you'll be thinking it yourself. That's my goal, is that you would just say yes to God's will and God's way. Live your life that way. Say yes to God's will and God's way. So we're like, okay, well, we probably should pray about it. Because if there needs to be a yes in here, we need to at least be open to praying. So we started praying about it. And as we were praying about it and being open to saying yes to God's will, after spending time in prayer, spending time with Stadia, we thought this is what God was calling us to do. So we said yes to planting a church. Stadia had different cities in the Sacramento region they were hoping to put a church in. And so they told us those cities. And so Heather and I drove up from Southern California. We drove around the cities. We walked around the cities. We did prayer walks around the cities asking God for direction. And in typical Delphs fashion, God told Heather the answer first. And said, we're supposed to go to Elk Grove. And so we packed up and we moved north into Elk Grove with no friends, no building, no core group, nothing. In fact, our first prayer gathering was in our living room with seven people. Heather and I, our two kids, I managed to drag my brother with us, his wife, and my niece. That was the seed of Life Point. Seven people and that prayer. Seven people and that prayer. And part of the story of LifePoint, it was centered around this mission that God had put in my heart even long before LifePoint existed. And that was based on God's word in John chapter 10, verse 10. And the mission is this, like, I want to point as many people as possible to the life in Jesus, to the abundant life that only Jesus can give us. John 10:10 said, you know, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy everything, but Jesus said, I may have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And man, that's what I wanted for people. And so I wanted so badly. I said, that's what we're going to go after. We're going to point people to this amazing life that only Jesus can give us. And so we started meeting people in the community and at the gym and in coffee shops and in parks. And we started a Bible study in our home, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And pretty soon it was too big for us to all be in the same house. And so we asked Armand and Yvonne Delgado, who are now a part of the team, if you will, the Bible study, if they would host that. And so they hosted the other group. I called some friends and I said, hey, would you pray about moving here to help me start this thing? And so this launch team, if you will, grew and grew. And then on February 23rd, 2003, we went public with our first, a little over 22 years ago, we went public as LifePoint Christian Church with our first service at Elliott Ranch Elementary School on the far, far edge of Elk Grove. I'm curious, there might be one or two or more of you who were with us in those early days at Elliott Ranch Elementary School. So I'm curious, raise your hand if you were there. Okay, so there's a handful. Let's praise God for, that's OG right there, right? That's so cool. Now, what's interesting to me is I didn't know anything about church planning. And then back then, they didn't really have church planning dialed in. Now there's amazing tools, resources, and trainings. Back then, they didn't have it. They were like, hey, would you be interested in planting a church? And great, okay, here's a little 5-page manual. Read that and go. And so I said, well, I don't know anything about building a church, but I do know how to build a student ministry. I said, you know what I'll do? I'll just build a student ministry for adults. And so that was kind of our foundation. And what I built student ministry on, first and foremost, was built it on the Word of God. And so we would be a church that always preached God's Word based on and centered around biblical teaching, that we would try to experience and go after heartfelt, Spirit-led worship, that we would focus on real and meaningful relationships, knowing that circles are better than rows, that this is good and we need this, but we really need to get around in a circle and share life together. And I knew that, man, we were going to serve the community, we're going to serve one another, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. Because the reality is life's too, you know, difficult as it is. We don't need to make it any worse. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. And interestingly, over the years, those who are super, super serious and sometimes they don't gel with our kind of take things kind of casually and whatnot. And so I love that this is a church that, man, we like to have fun. Who likes to have fun? Do you like that? Like, Jesus said, I came that you may have life to the fullest. He didn't say I came to give you a boring, somber life. Right? We're going to have fun doing life together. There's so many great memories of those early years at LifePoint. God blessed that season, that part of the LifePoint story. Growth was steady and consistent. The LifePoint story, there has never been any overnight explosion. Just faithful step after faithful step. Then the LifePoint story took a little bit of a turn. In 2008, the financial crisis hit. Some of you remember that well. People were losing jobs and losing houses. The economy tanked. And as a young church, we felt it. And we felt it especially in the area of giving, as the giving dropped off hard. For a couple years, we were significantly behind what was already a slim budget. But praise God, Heather and I, before we launched the church, we had raised a significant amount of money to help us. And our thinking was, this will help us in those early 2, 3, 4, 5 years of a church plant to help us bridge that gap as we're growing as a church. And that's the hardest part about planting a church, is being able to weather those financial storms in the early years. And so we had those reserves. And praise God we had those reserves, because they freed us up. I didn't have to feel like I was standing on stage having to pressure people about money in a struggling economy. Well, after a couple of years, those reserves were dangerously low, and our margin was quickly coming to an end. The elders and I were praying about it, and I told the elders, I said, listen, I kind of feel like God is maybe leading us here and leading me to teach on finances and trust. Not just on finances, but on trust. It wasn't the ideal time. I knew if I did it, I wouldn't be like I've heard other preachers when they stand up on stage, and when you're sitting there, you feel the pressure. Like, you feel this pressure about being guilted into giving. It's never been my way. It'll never be my way. And so I said, we'll teach a series on God's word, what God's word says about money and about trusting God. And then we gave the church a 90-day giving challenge. We invited the church to give or tithe for 90 days and trust God to provide. And we even gave them this guarantee. We said, if you don't think God will provided for you in that 90 days, and if you don't think you saw his faithfulness in that 90 days, LifePoint will return all the money to you. It's a money-back guarantee. Why wouldn't you try it? And that was really based on Malachi chapter 3, because it's the one place in the Bible that says we can actually test God. And it says this. It says, bring one-tenth of your income into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me. Everybody say test. Test me in this way, says the Lord of armies, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven for you and flood you with blessings. And so it was a huge step for a small little church. And that 90-day challenge, it changed the trajectory of the church, the story of the church. I still have those cards that I hold on to of the people of our church at that point who said, we're in. We're going to take the 90-day challenge. Part of the LifePoint story is the faithfulness of this group of people. I can tell you this. We wouldn't be here as a church today without this group of people who took that 90-day challenge. And so I praise God for every single one of them. It was an incredible season, and it wasn't really about the money. It was about learning to trust God more with all of our life. And so I'm deeply grateful to God for that season. God continued writing the story of LifePoint for many, many more years of people responding in faith and trust to him. After really a series of miracles, don't have time to tell you all the details, God enabled us to lease this place, which was a Harley-Davidson building. And then a few years later, again because of the faithfulness of a group of people who their story was part of LifePoint's story at the time, because of their generosity, we were able to purchase this building. But not only purchase it, also purchase additional property for future expansion. The church continued to grow and to impact the community. God kept writing the story. Well, then there was COVID. And that's everybody's reaction whenever you hear COVID. You may not know this, but countless pastors, thousands and thousands of pastors, left the ministry during that period of time. The pressure was so unbelievable. We all felt it. No matter what decisions church leaders made regarding that period of time, it was difficult. Do we meet together? Do we not meet together? Do we meet indoors? Do we not meet indoors? If we're going to not meet indoors, do we meet outdoors? Do we have masks? Do we not have masks? It was absolutely exhausting and difficult and discouraging, as we even saw many people at LifePoint choose to step away and leave, people we considered family. And they exited the church. But it was also a sweet season. For those of us who were here at the time, We'll never forget that year of meeting outdoors. Some of you guys remember that, right? We'd gather together, bring your own chairs, and we'd get together. Let's praise God. That was a sweet season. Man, so many of us just wanted to be together and study God's word together and worship together. And here's what's incredible is during that season, it only rained one time. God gave us sunshine every single Sunday so we can meet. And yeah, sure, in the winter it was freezing cold. And in the summer at times it was hot, hot, hot. But we gathered and we continued to let God write our story through that season. Through it all, God was still writing our story. Our story. Eventually, we made our way back indoors. And after an emotional and spiritually exhausting couple years, it's now the winter of 2022. And I had this sense, God may be stirring in me, this idea of have a bigger vision. Have a bigger vision. Specifically, have a bigger vision for people who are far from God. And so in January of 2023, I told the staff what I sensed maybe God was putting on my heart. And so I said to them, what if we prayed for 100 people to be baptized this year in 2023? Now, a couple things. First of all, you need to know when they heard me say that was very unusual for them to hear me say that. I don't talk about numbers. I don't put numbers on something. That's not the language I use. My attitude has always just kind of been, hey, just be faithful, God will handle the harvest. And so whether right or wrong, it's just kind of the approach I've always had. And so for them to hear that, it was a little bit shocking. But secondly, 100 baptisms? I mean, you talk about a BHAG. Some of you have heard that term before, right? BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And 100 people. That's a BHAG. Because normally we have about 15 or 20 or 25 baptisms each year. But I sensed God saying, hey, dream bigger. Have a bigger heart. Have a greater heart for those who are far from me. And really, it wasn't about the number 100. It was really about the number 1. Seeing lives changed one person at a time. To use the Jesus metaphor or story, talking about the 99 sheep, who are, you know, the people of LifePoint, and leaving the 99 to do what? To go after the what? The one far from God, so to speak. And so have more of a heart for that. Well, that year, 2023, the ones kept adding up. And by the end of 2023, we witnessed almost 100 people who were baptized into Christ. And praise God for that. And we thanked the Lord. And we had this heart of gratitude to see so many lives impacted for Christ. But we didn't hit the number. So next year, I went to the staff again. I said, let's pray for it again. And so that last year in 2024, 99 people were baptized into Christ. And praise God for that, right? So this year in January, what did I do? I went to the staff and said, well, we were one shy. So this year we've been praying for that and just let God handle the harvest. And 2 people are just baptized there. 2 people will be baptized in the next service. And we're on track, I think. If that's God's plan, we're going to maybe this year hit that number. And if we don't, I'll go back to the staff. But again, if we just praise God in these last 3 years to watch this amazing work of God. Here's what we've discovered, though, through that. When we think about our story and how that intersects with God, when your heart lines up with God's heart, guess what God does? He shows up. When you care about what God cares about, God moves and God works. And God cares about us reaching people who are far from him and then helping them, us, grow in Christ and grow in faith. And so I praise God because every baptism is one story of life change. The number that matters is 1. You, your story. God changed your life. 1 life at a time. The ones as they've added up, our ministries have been growing. So part of the LifePoint story right now in this season that we're all a part of is we have space problems, right? You come here at second service. You may not know it. First service, when I say we have space problems, they're like, what? We have plenty of space. Hint, hint. If you're ever able to slip into first service to make more room for the one, just something to consider. Those who have switched services, it's a huge blessing. But we do have space problem. And some of you, if you've showed up at second or third service and there's no parking spots left. We don't have enough room in our kids' services. Our services are full. And so we're praying in this season, in this part of our story, praying about adding a service. We're praying about building expansion. Why? Because everyone matters. And because we're committing to pointing as many people as possible to life in Jesus. All of that, that's part of our story. But here's the thing, it's not just about attendance and buildings. It's about who we are as a church family. And who we are, we've been this way since the beginning. Generosity and service have always been part of the LifePoint DNA. It's part of our story. And because even before we were fully self-supportive as a church in those early days, man, we were already giving. We were giving money away. We were giving money away to missionaries and ministries. We were serving the teachers there at Elliott Ranch Elementary School. I can remember one time when we gave an entire offering away in those early years to a family that was going off on the mission field. And that was scary, but we trusted God. We stood up here one time and we gave an entire Sunday morning offering away to a church up in Paradise after the fires happened. And you as a church rose up in generosity to that point. It was the highest offering ever given at LifePoint. And we as a church with sincere hearts and gladness in our hearts and gratefulness, we gave that away. We partnered with Elk Grove Chamber of Commerce in those early years, and they needed people to run the whole, the parking and the receiving people into Elk Grove Park. You know how we have the Elk Grove red, white, and blue? Back then, they needed people, and so we stepped in and we said, hey, we'll take care of that. We'll handle all of that. And so we did that for a few years, and that was such a fun season. We also did, one time, as just trying to be generous to our community, we did a gas buy-down at the Shell gas station off Elk Grove Boulevard and Auto Center Mall. As a church, we bought the gas down to $1 a gallon. So it was packed. And people are pouring in, and we had stacks of donuts, and so people are getting gas, and we're giving them a donut, and we were doing that. It was crazy, but it was just us trying to leave our mark of generosity on our community. Today, those seeds of generosity and service, man, they have grown into incredible partnerships. We have our partnership with Starting Point, where we are part of that and we serve refugees. Through Jesse Baker Elementary School, another one of our partnerships that Pastor Nick talked about earlier, and some of you have participated. We host their prom every year, and if you've never done that, man, you want to sign up for that. Talk about a tearjerker and God moving your heart. And so we love that partnership. We love our partnership with Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. We love our partnership with Jessup University and our incredible partnership with New Hope Church in South Sac, where we have our gift of groceries. It's amazing to think that people here at LifePoint every single day of the year go to Raley's, pick up groceries, take them up there, and then every Thursday a bunch of people from LifePoint help distribute that food along with New Hope into I think now is up to almost 1,000 people each, or 1,000 families each week. Last month, 12,000 pounds of food were given away, 59 tons this year alone. What's that all about? It's generosity and it's service, because we say we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's part of our story. Psalm 100 verse 1 says this. It says, give thanks. Everybody say thanks. Thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their what? Tell their story. God calls us to tell our story. Give thanks and tell your story. Today, what I'm doing right now is just a little piece of our story. I would love to spend hours and hours telling you more of the story. You don't want me to, but I would love to. So you could see and hear about God's goodness and God's faithfulness throughout. So we give thanks to the Lord for what he is doing in our story. But here's what I'm wondering. What is your story? What is your story, and what are you doing with your story for kingdom purposes? What are you doing with your story for kingdom purposes? I want to leave you with a couple ways in which you can use your story. And the first one is this, is I want you to live it. Everybody say, live it. I want you to live your story with gratitude, even through the hard chapters. I shared some of the hard and difficult and bad chapters of LifePoint, and maybe you're in a bad and hard and difficult chapter right now, but you know what? Live that chapter by practicing gratitude in the midst of it. Yeah, Lord, I know this is what I wouldn't choose this right now, but God, I trust that you're with me. I trust that you're working in my story, and I will trust you in the midst of what I'm going through. So don't waste your story. Live your story right now with gratitude. And even allow God to use your story to help others with their story. So live your story. Second, own it. Everybody say, own it. You want to own your story with purpose by being an active part of what God is doing here at the church, at your church. Don't sit on the sidelines. Jump into the LifePoint story. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, we are God's masterpiece. And we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good things, to do good works that God planned for us to do long ago. That means whatever your wiring is, whatever your experiences are, whatever your personality is, whatever goodness that's happened in your life, whatever pain has happened in your life, none of it's random. God wants to use that so that you can do good works, and you could do good works with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. So if you've been attending but not serving, jump in, man. Join a team. Get involved with what's happening here. If you haven't been through Rooted yet, this winter in January, February, get involved in Rooted. If you haven't been involved in a group, a life group, a small group, get involved in a small group. If you don't get involved in our different community groups, get involved with those. If you've never been baptized since trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take that step. If you've held back in your generosity, maybe because of fear, ask God, hey, what does obedience look like in my generosity? Be an active part of the LifePoint story, so that you can experience all that God has for you. Own it. And then third, share it. Everybody say, share it. Share it. Share it. Use your story to reach somebody else. Share your story with courage, with your SOI, what Pastor Nick talked about, with your sphere of influence. Who in your sphere of influence needs to hear your story and then, after hearing your story, needs to receive an invitation to LifePoint? If you're not already doing so, you want to make sure you're praying for people that you are involved in their life with so that you can have opportunity to share your story. Invite them, because one invitation could change their eternity. I think about Alberto, who's been coming to LifePoint since 2023. And then on January 16th, 2024, Alberto's life was forever changed as he was baptized into Christ. And I always love seeing this picture because I just love his incredible passion that you see in his baptism. You could see, here's a guy, man, like, oh, yes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And what did Alberto start doing? He started sharing his story of life transformation, including sharing that with the men's ministry at a recent breakfast. He decided to own it and to be an active part of the LifePoint story. He's now serving as an usher and even recruiting others to join him. This past Sunday, he pulled me aside. He said, Pastor, man, I've been praying, and I feel like maybe God might be calling me into vocational ministry, and I don't know what to do with that, and I'm not sure what to do with that, and I wanted to talk to you about it. Do you have any thoughts about that? Oh, I have a lot of thoughts. Now, that's a man who's been completely redirected by Jesus. And then this last week, Alberto posted on social media inviting people to LifePoint for our Christmas series. And so just watch kind of his post. If you haven't already seen this, watch this post.
Shalom, everyone. This is day 23 of trying to grow this page for the glory of God. If you're watching this video, you're invited to LifePoint's Christmas services. I hope you guys can all make it. All the information will be at the end of this video where you can take a screenshot, choose a time, and just join us. If you're a believer, non-believer, it doesn't matter. You are invited. I hope to see you all there. See you tomorrow. Peace.
Man, I love it. And here's why. He used his story to connect to our story, to open the door for other people's stories to be changed. Listen, God saved you, God grows you, and God uses you to be a blessing to others, to reach others. This week, the YouVersion Bible app crossed 1 billion downloads on devices, and that's something to celebrate. If you haven't watched the 2.5-hour celebration, I'd encourage you to watch it or at least watch parts of it. That's amazing to think God was using technology to get his word out everywhere and across the world. In the same way, God wants to use you. God uses technology. God wants to use you to get his word out to those around you. So please hear this. Your story, your invitation, your conversation, your prayer, your text message, your social media posts, what are those? They're tools that God uses to reach people who are far from him. So who in your sphere of influence needs to hear your story and needs to receive your invitation? That invitation might change their life. Your story might change their life. Psalm chapter 126, verse 3 says this. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. If you believe that the Lord has done amazing things for us, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God has done amazing things for us. What joy. Amazing. Incredible. And God started our story with 7 people and a prayer. 22 years later, God's grown us into this vibrant, messy, imperfect, but beautiful church family. And the best chapters and the best days are still ahead of us. And God has written you into them. You're part of the story. So as you head into Thanksgiving week, with gratitude in your hearts, let's thank God for the amazing things that he has done, that he's done for us. Let's thank God for the story that he's writing. And let's commit to using our story for his kingdom purposes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you for the amazing things you have done in us, for us, through us, and we are just filled with joy. We give thanks. We start off with thanks. We lead with that. And so God, hear our prayers right now. I want to invite you to just take a moment, you and God, offer your thankfulness to him, your gratitude to him. For the amazing things he has done. And if you'd be willing to be courageous, I want to invite you to say a prayer asking and committing to using your story for God's purposes. So if you're willing to step out into that bold prayer, would you pray with me right now and just say, Jesus, I commit to you to using my story for your kingdom purposes. Jesus, I commit to you to use my story for your kingdom purposes. And I declare this and say this in Jesus' name. God, you hear our prayers. Use us to reach those who are far from you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.